So, you are Bicycle Mark?
That is correct. I am Bicycle Mark.
What do you do? Why Bicycle Mark?
The
Larry.
why at this point is so far back that it doesn't really matter, but
I
since you
assume everyone asks
ask,
this.
no, they've stopped. But it's true, all new people would ask. Bicycle Mark is just a name that stuck with me from years ago where I went to university in a place where everybody had cars. This land called America, nobody has a bicycle. Few
Is
at
this
that time.
really the
And people
case?
would just call me Bicycle Mark at my university. A professor started it because I rode a bike everywhere.
Was
I
it a
had a
really
bike.
sweet bike?
It was
Well,
all right.
here
I
in
thought it was
Germany, you
sweet at
have
the
to go
time.
barefoot so people actually
Become
notice that
known.
you're
That's become trendy to
different.
wear the little finger, the five
Oh,
fingers
yeah, that's
shoes.
pretty
No,
Oh.
no,
People
no. I
jog.
mean, it's not unusual to have a bicycle.
No, I know. And in the United States, things are getting better. But in New Jersey, where I grew up, it's really car culture. So that was how I got the name Bicycle Mark. But that had nothing to do with the fact that I got very interested in journalism, my kind of journalism,
What
doing
is
it.
your kind of journalism?
Well, my kind of journalism is, above all, whatever the hell I want to do, in whatever style I wish to do. And my focus is underreported news, so things that don't make the front pages, but I think affect, I see, affect human lives. So those conflicts, they can be wars, but they don't have to be. They could be environmental conflicts, often between people, even historical. I mean, everything is historical, so.
So you're a crisis journalist?
I
Some
agree.
kind of vulture?
No. Am I a vulture? Probably, because everybody is interesting to me. That's where I'm a vulture. But
I can relate to that.
I don't chase conflicts. I know a lot of my friends do, and I respect them because I've seen what it takes. But I'm more the post-war reporter. I show up in countries when the war is over, and I teach very often people how to be their own journalist, to do a bit what you're doing in video, especially lately.
Why
And
video?
There's a big call from, Afghanistan, Kosovo, where I just was, Libya. There's a big call for, we want to be, young people or even older, we want to do some reports from here so that the world can see what's really going on. So there's this big push for video because in these countries, video is
I mean, video
still.
is emotional, but here, for example, we have a podcast, and the information density is higher when you actually have to explicitly spell out all the things.
Be that as it may, that's a funny connecting word. Be that as it may, it's a
What?
several words. It's a literary device. Be that as it may, and
Let it be.
it means I understand what you're saying, but I'm still gonna go say something else.
Okay, yeah.
Be that as it
I
may,
understand your question, and I'm gonna answer some
something
other.
else.
Something in just 2 minutes and 55
Yeah,
seconds.
but be that as it may, there are countries. I'm Portuguese.
Yeah.
In Portugal, television is dominant, more than any other medium. There are radio listeners. There are readers.
Well, Germany is a TV
Television.
culture still.
Well, but compared to other countries, we're in a land of at least more people listen and more people read than in the global south. Television is very dominant.
So, do they have talk shows or stuff that influence public policy?
It depends on what country we're talking about, but yes, and yes, and television makes or breaks everything from politics to, society stories. But so the big focus from a lot of these people is whatever equipment they've got, say in Libya, or can get at short notice, they will use it to tell stories their way, to do their reporting. So the question that I often get is, can you come here? Can you teach our people? They've got a little bit of background to do their
So
own stories.
you're not really a hardcore journalist, but a hardcore journalist teacher, like a multiplier.
I use the opportunity to go to that country to teach, and in my spare time, which I always find, I do my own journalism, my own
So there's a
interviews.
general tendency towards more journalism from the people themselves, and they are less asking for you or using you as a platform to communicate.
That's true. I'm
So
just
you're
there.
trying to be not elitist by teaching them, right?
I'm sure any attempt to not be elitist still leaves me as some kind of an elitist. But it's true. I'm trying not to be an elitist. That's true. And I understand that sometimes even, yeah, you are anyway. But it's not
It's
about
okay.
me. It's not really about me. No.
Okay.
It's about
So
them.
the stuff you published, what, for example, were the most controversial
Some controversies are really simple. The latest place that I came from this month is Kosovo. And the first time I went, I just wrote up a text piece about what I saw. I described flags and crossing the border and getting a stamp. And I wasn't trying to make a big political statement. I wanted to write a story of traveling to this place. And I had so many angry comments from Serb nationalists telling me that I couldn't possibly have gone to a country named Kosovo. There is no such place.
There's someone wrong on the internet.
That's right. The someone wrong on the internet people found me. I've since learned that some people are paid to do that.
Yeah, that was surprising to me as well.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, they may not have been paid, right? They're just angry people as well. So this was
you
a small
You don't even need to pay them. That somehow makes it worse.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Can't cut off their funding.
That was my latest controversy.
Some actual reporting that proved controversial?
A while back, I did an interview with a journalist who specializes in West Africa, and she had been to Mauritania, where apparently there's a lot of new roads being built. The government has come into some money. What they've been doing is selling the fishing rights to foreign fishing companies, and these companies use a lot of industrial fishing tools, and they can really mess up your
ecosystem.
Yes, but they pay. So this journalist was just telling about her observations there, her interviews with people, and a lot of people were really glad about the roads and the fishing waters. They were kind of like, well, it's what we've got, you know, let's sell it. So she gave a very much like a, look, people don't even, you know, they're kind of okay with it. Not 100%. And Greenpeace wrote to me, and then there was a huge amount of anger coming out that I didn't give the full story. Not that I ever promised I would. That this
You're
woman...
You're not a real journalist.
Right. There it is. And that I need to go and meet with Greenpeace, which actually I don't mind at all. I was really glad that they felt I needed to. So, but
Did
I
pay the dinner?
No. No, they didn't. I think they gave me juice. I like when they give me apple juice. But so I went to Greenpeace's offices, thankfully, in Amsterdam, so I could just ride over. And they told their side of the story, that because they're fighting to stop it. And that they have local partners as well, and they can tell me about these local partners. So this was a controversial issue for a while. I didn't mean to cause so much controversy.
What was controversial about?
That I did a report about Mauritania that didn't contain the whole story, and that this kind of it gives a bad portrayal of the situation.
What would your amateur ethics code say to that? Like,
I think people overestimate.
Do you think you're obligated to tell the truth and only the truth and the full story to the maximum extent?
No.
Why do people hold you to such standard?
It's an old standard. I don't think it's unreasonable, but it is an old standard that they apply to me. They assume because I call myself a journalist that I fit a certain definition that they understand, and I think the definition can be flexible.
I would like to ask again: why do you see the special reasons or any particular reason for the people striving towards more initiative journalism?
Initiative?
More.
Searching
initiative
out
for for their own journalism, what we talked about before, why there's a growing need for teaching journalism.
I think there's a couple of things going on. One is work related in these countries, and there may not be a good solution resolution to this problem, but in these countries, a lot of people, they've just come out of a war. Their country's young, or at least their new version of their country, and they want to find work as journalists. So they want to know how they can produce items. So that's a weird one, because it's kind of... Yeah, I've lost my train of thought completely at this point. Anyway, they hope to get a job, actually, or be able to sell their own stories. That's one.
Do you have a job? Do you sell your stories? Or do you live on donations or projects you're hired on?
I get hired based on my work that I've done on the internet, mostly for free, and then I get hired for editing work and teaching jobs.
The right trick.
And so forth. Those people may also just have a good understanding that
you lack because you're not a local.
Well, yeah, but not only that, they have a good understanding now that they could tell their own story. I think that's even if you don't have a lot of experience in journalism, more and more like in Egypt, and people know like we could tell this story. Like, we don't need, CNN to come and tell our story. We're going to tell it ourselves.
Changed.
Yeah. I think
different.
People realize this. Mm-hmm. So they just want to tell their own stories, but they're open to learning. Any tips you've got, any experiences you can share,
they're
up for it.
That's why I, as a photojournalist, will lose my job.
Why?
Yeah.
Because people don't need me anymore. They have more self-esteem now.
I'll tell you, I worked in Afghanistan now, 2010, 2011, only about 3 months of my life. And the first people to really pick up the skill and the trade are photojournalists. They're getting the jobs. A lot of the foreigners are leaving in fear anyway.
Yeah.
But the photojournalists are the most ready to do it on their own.
Mama.
Yeah. But
maybe it would be helpful in Germany one day.
Okay, last question. How many stories do you actually do? Like how per month or so, how many articles do you actually write? Is it something you do beside? Do you have some current events that need to go online fast, or do you research for weeks or months?
You have 15 seconds left.
Oh, I'm not a current events guy that works on like... Oh, I really believed it. I am not like paranoid about deadlines. I'm not paranoid about deadlines.
Suspicious.
I put content 4 to 5 days per week, and once a week I do audio program. I've been doing it since 2004, so I'm old school and very dedicated. And then I do text, 2 to 3 texts per week. Then I do articles for a couple of other magazines, small ones in Amsterdam that actually pay. One of them is called United Academics. It's an academic magazine. It's nice. They let me do, within reason, whatever I want. But the focus is people doing academic research on sciences, hard sciences, social sciences, whatever. So I do interviews. I publish those interviews. I write a blog for them. I edit everybody else's work. So lately, they are one of my primary jobs. But I have others. I've written for Netherlands Tourism for years.
Okay, thank you. And thank you to our sponsors, Take Another Soma.